Good afternoon, everybody. My name is David Fifield, and I'm one of the developers of the NMAP security scanner. And I want to talk to you a little bit about NMAP today. But this talk is not really about I didn't need you to see this part. It's just as good. This talk is not really about NMAP. This talk is about some of the new tools and programs that come with NMAP that I want you all to be aware of. Now, there's a handout. I hope you were able to get one, because a lot of what I'm going to say to you is recorded there, and some of the commands I'll give you that you can try out. Try out some of these cool new things that are going to be there in the handout. Who here in the audience has heard of NMAP, first of all? All right, cool. Anybody here use it professionally, day to day? Okay, is there anybody here who doesn't know what NMAP is, or just came out of curiosity? Okay. That makes it a little easier. I want to kind of offer a little something for everyone out of this. So, chances are that with your Linux distribution, you got NMAP. You can just say, install NMAP and install it through some package. And that's good. It's good to have it distributed like that. But one problem is that distributions tend to ship a pretty old version of NMAP. The last, quote, you know, stable release of NMAP was version 4.76, which was back in September of 2008, which is kind of a long time ago. In those last 9 months, a lot has happened. I think part of the reason for that is that, well, for whatever reason, we tend to have long spaces between stable releases, and in between, the version numbers are kind of scary. The version number before this one was 4.85 beta 10, and I don't know, some people are scared off by version numbers like that. But you don't have to worry too much longer, because we have a release candidate out. We have 4.90RC1, and so a new stable release is going to follow real shortly. NMAP is like a lot of other projects, though. It's one of those where it's really safe to build from Subversion or build from source code and have the absolute latest version. We try and keep the main trunk pretty stable, and anything that's experimental or unstable, we go and work on in a branch. All right, now we're in business. Oh, except I need to see the new screen too. Okay. All right, so I want to give you an idea of this really cool activity and exercise I had planned here, but for some reason I can't get the scanning host accessible through the wireless. I was going to have this host set up, and it's running a bunch of services, and have everybody bring out their laptops and be able to scan it and find out what services are running on it, and then eventually find the secret word in one of the services and run the products. But for whatever reason, I got here 45 minutes early, but I can't get it accessible over the wireless, so we're going to have to skip that. I'm just going to have to show you some of these things. Alright, so let's talk about the first companion tool that comes with NMAP. And this is called ZenMAP. Who's heard of that? And who hasn't heard of that? Maybe that's more important. Okay, so this is kind of a big deal. I'm going to open it up here. It wants root access because it's going to be sending raw packets and that kind of thing. It's really good. So, yeah, thanks a lot. Let's look at this. It's really not that hard to understand. You see there an NMAP command line, and it sounds like all of you are NMAP users, so you should immediately know what NMAP-T4-capital-NMAP-PS22.5.80-PA21.23.80.23.89 is, right? Okay, well, if you are an NMAP user, you would know that that's unintensive. ZenMAP comes with a bunch of scan profiles. And the simple idea behind that is you can click on a profile, and it's going to set up the options for you. You know, this is kind of a lot to remember, how to do a quick trace route with a comprehensive game. That's one easy way to do it. I just want to do a quick scan of the host that I'm going to set up here. And you can see this is going to run. This is just like a normal NMAP run, except a little bit more colorful. It's got syntax highlighting. So far, we're very impressed because this is basically what we could do with the normal NMAP. And these are the results that you're used to. These are the things, the ports running on here. We've got an SSH port, BNC, and some MAC Kerberos thing. Now let's do something a little more advanced. Let's do what we call Quick Scan Plus. And I'm going to start that going, and then I want to talk to you about another aspect of this. So let's go into the profile menu, and we'll say new profile with command. And I can put, this is really awful because this is a video on the screen. I really got to apologize. I'm just going to come off and say I'm going to wear a see that there's a reason why I'm doing low-level network programming, not user interface programming. So let's try that again before we get to it. Let's see how much time it does also remember the host that you stand with. So we were talking about the profile editor. This is going to be imperfect, but let's show you what's going on here. Kind of the idea is that you've got a graphical interface for manipulating NMAP commands, and you can click on an option, like operating system detection. You click on that, and it's going to insert a dash capital O in your NMAP command, because that's what that means. And it also works the other way. If you type in a command up on top, it's going to go and fill in all the buttons as if you type them in. So if you want to run a syn ping scan on ports 22 and 80, it's going to go and check the box for you type in dash SP dash PS 22.80, it's going to go in and fill that in for you. So one of the nice things about this is if you were a beginning NMAP user, you can find out what an NMAP command does without having to run it. You can just type it up in the profile editor and everything will be highlighted showing you exactly what's going to happen. The other idea behind this is it's actually cut off on the top of the screen, but it's meant to show you the command that will be run at all times. We're trying to create a connection in the minds of users, especially beginning users, between what these options are, because there are dozens and dozens of them, and what they actually do. Another kind of nice thing here is you can just mouse over each of the different options, and you can see it gives you help and explains exactly what it's going to do. Okay, so let's talk about what else you can do. What else can you do? One of the features that ZenMap can do that ordinary NMap can't do is it can take several scans, take the results of several scans and combine them into one view. So it's as if you had run kind of one giant scan that combines everything you put together. We call this feature scan aggregation. Let's think of some use cases for that. Let's say, one, you're a network administrator, you've got a huge network, and maybe it kind of divides naturally into three subnets. Well, you could do a big scan of one subnet one day, on Monday, then do another subnet on Tuesday, another subnet on Wednesday, and round robin them. Look at the results in NMAP, in ZenMap, and it's going to give you the complete results of all those scans as if you had done them all at once. And the other nice thing about that is if you have old, stale results for one of your scans, you can rescan it, and it will be refreshed with new results. The aggregation just takes whatever is freshest and presents you with that information. So that's part of what just happened now. So we ran two scans. We ran a quick scan and a quick scan plus. We have them both in the list here, and also a list of scans over here. Now, what changed in the quick scan plus? Can anyone tell me what these flags mean? What's a dash S capital B? Yeah, service detection. So that's the thing that you turn on when you want it and have to tell you this is Apache, this is IIS, this is whatever. What about the stash capital O? Yeah. Operating system detection. So that means NMAP is going to tell you this is Windows, this is Linux, or in this case, obviously it's OS X because it's the little Mac that you see. Now, if we look at the ports and hosts, we can see that we actually have that information. We have the version information. It says that SSH port is actually running OpenSSH. It's running Mac OS X Kerberos, so not just any Kerberos server, and Apple's remote desktop view, which happens to be kind of VNC. And host details for that host, you can see that we got the information on the operating system 100% match. OSX. Now, this actually brings up a good point. This is slightly out of date. This is actually running 10.5.7. If you ever notice that happen, don't just ignore it. Go to the NMAP submit webpage. Go to nmap.org/submit and fix it. You can just say, I want to submit a correction. All you have to do is say, it said 10.5.4, my machine is 10.5.7. And then it'll make its way into the database. But that's the only way we can keep it current. So that's a little public service announcement there. So you can see that we had two different scans, and the results of them were combined. That's not too interesting in this case because they were basically the same host. What I want to do is let's do a more interesting scan.
The wireless subnet.
We'll do a ping scan, and you don't have to stick with the profile if you don't like it. Like, I want to turn off reverse DNS because that's going to take a little while. Otherwise, the ping scan's going to be pretty fast. And we'll just let that run for a second. Oh, and I want to mention one other thing for scan aggregation. Another great thing about that is, have you ever been in a situation where you want to scan a whole big network quickly, you just want to find out what hosts are up, and then you find an interesting host, or maybe you scan a whole big network and you're scanning through port 80 or something like that. Then you find some interesting ones and you want to scan them in more depth. Well, you can do it in ZenMap. Do the big scan, pick one of the hosts, and scan it more intensively. And it's not going to get rid of all the previous results, it's just going to add new results to it. So it's really nice. Here we see the results of the ping scan. Again, this is all of you. Anyone recognize your MAC address up there? Just raise your hand. And you see that actually there are quite a lot of people attached to this while this thing. So now we can pick one. Like we can take 160.144. And nothing personal makes sure that this happens to me. don't know, maybe this person doesn't have any forks, I'm going to be something very interesting, but we'll see. All right, while that's going, I want to show you one more thing about ZenMap before we start moving on. See, this is another example of scan aggregation. That was a directory that actually contained 5 different scans. I opened them up with clicking the open directory button, and it's going to combine all those scan results together. Now, this was 5 separate scans with a quick tracer profile, so you can see there's no port out there because we didn't actually scan any ports. But we did get tracer output by using the NMAP's tracer option right here. So what's interesting about that is this. This is the topology view of ZenMap, and this is built in. This happens whenever you run a scan, but it's going to be more interesting when you have tracer information, because that's what it's designed to show. The idea is you're here in the center, you're localhost, and then every concentric ring is one more hop, it's one more TTL away from you. And the other cool thing is... So you can click on any host, and it will put that host in the center of the ring, so it's sort of the network from the point of view of that host. And yeah, it's eye candy, but it also can be useful if you've got a good network. And I don't have time to go through all the different options you can do with this. You can change the controls and zoom in. You can turn off the host names if they're getting in the way. And this is just the paths to a bunch of big web servers from my home computer. So there's FSF and Wikipedia and Yahoo and Google. And that's what it looks like. I mean, this is what the internet looks like from the computer I usually use to do work. Alright, so let's close that. So someone here in the audience is running a web server. That's pretty interesting. Yeah, raise your hand. I don't know. Someone fire up a web browser and put in that address and see what you see. Hey, what is it? Yeah, it's you? Awesome. Wow, that's a coincidence. I just met my new company. I hope it's up to date because there's probably 100 people trying to break in right now. Yeah, we need the DHCP lease or something. Okay, so that's all I want to discuss about ZenMap. Oh, and are there any questions? Because I'd like to handle them kind of in the middle rather than save all at the end. It's going to be kind of a day. Are you on ZenMap? Okay, so let's talk about... Oh, go ahead.
Is there a .xls port? Or is this a local
part? No, there isn't. There's, it's an X11 port, but it does run on Windows, and it does run on the Mac, but it runs inside Mac X11. And in case you... I should have mentioned earlier how easy it is to get a hold of ZenMap. Well, actually, I have this one. nmap.org/download.html. And there's packages for every major operating system, source code, of course, and Subversion repository. And for Windows and Mac, there's binary installer packages and also RPM for Linux. So it's really easy to get a hold of. And if you install from binary packages, you're going to get all this stuff. You're going to get ZenMap and MCAT and NDIF, whatever you like. All right, so let's talk about another tool called NCAT. This is something that's based on a utility called NETCAT. Some of us know by the initials NC. Has anyone ever used that? Anyone know? So I have to admit, I didn't when I started working on NCAT. NCAT, what's that all about? I kind of got what it was for, but then I started working on it, and I really started to be excited because there's a lot you can do with it. So the idea behind MCAT is to kind of be a new replacement for the really fragmented world of Netcat implementations, and also just to support some new modern things that people want, like SSL and IPv6, which some other Netcats have, and also just some things that we want to have on our own. So let's open that up and see what you can do, an example of a use case for MCAT. So this is a classic example. What this means is we want to open up a TCP connection. TCP is the default to port 80, which is HTTP, of course. And what this means is it's going to turn the line feed characters we type into the character term line feed, because that's technically required by HTTP. I just put it up there to be pedantic because most web servers don't care. And then if you know some HTTP, you know that you type to get the home page, and there it is. Let's go shopping. So this is not, you know, quite as pretty as if you had opened up in Firefox, but if you opened it up in Firefox, you would never have realized the little Easter egg at the bottom of the Amazon.com's homepage. Someone who likes cats. So that's just one thing you can do. We opened up a TCP stream and we got a web page, and that's pretty simple. Another thing you can do, and this might be a little awkward because we're constrained in the screen here, is set this up as a server. And set this up as dash L means listen mode, server mode. So it's going to start listening on a socket. Now I'll have to explain what I'm doing here. I'm in a screen session. I'm going to create another window and switch back and forth. So let's see what's going on here. Now I'm going to connect to that server I just started. And there it appears on the server. And it appears on the client. So this is really, it's kind of like a Unix pipe for the network. It's not exactly like a pipe because it's bi-directional, but you can use it. This is a way to connect regular Unix utilities to the network. And this is just the beginning. So if you saw this example and you say, hey, cool, it's a chat server. Well, we thought of that. MCAT actually can act as a chat server, which I would agree is a totally silly and frivolous use of a serious network professional tool. But the only thing that justifies it is that it fell really naturally out of another feature of MCAT, which, as far as I know, is unique to MCAT and is really, really cool. We call it Connection Broker. So I'm going to say put NCAT in listen mode, and all you have to add is the dash dash broker switch. Let me explain what this does. You've got NCAT running as a server. In broker mode, it's going to connect exception. It's going to accept connections from multiple clients. You can have 10 clients, however many connect to it. When it receives data from one client, it's going to rebroadcast it out to all other clients. Right? So this is like a network hub. And obviously, once you have that, a chat server is trivial to implement because that's all a chat server does. The only thing it does if you add chat to that command is it puts a little unique identifier in front of each stream so you can kind of tell who's saying what, and it's not just totally weird. So what's the use case for Connection Broker? Kind of the best one that we thought of and is actually pretty useful in practice is to want this to get around firewalls. Think about two hosts that are behind NAT and they can't access each other directly. Neither one can initiate a direct connection to the other. Well, if you've got a third host out on the net somewhere, if you look on, I think it's the back side of your handout, I actually have an example of this. Yeah, right here at the bottom of the first column. Host 3 sets itself up as a connection broker. Host 1 is going to connect to host 3. Host 2 is also going to connect to host 3. Now, whatever host 1 sends to host 3, host 3 is going to broadcast back out to all the other clients, which in this case is just host 2. So we've routed around those firewalls so that we can transfer a file between these two hosts that are otherwise can't be directly connected. And that was another thing I wanted to have a chat server running on here, so you all could, you know, maybe talk about the presentation while it's going on and everything like that. But yeah, I gotta apologize, that didn't work out. So yeah, actually, I should have been looking at this because this is some interesting things here. Yeah, you know what? I want to start this up on. I'm going to start up some of these servers that I was going to have running. No, just to show you, just give you an idea. I set up a few servers here. One of them, running on port 7, let's just connect to it, is a simple echo server. So you can say echo. Whatever. Now, if you were going to write an echo server in C, what would you do? You know, you got to open it up, you have to probably go to the man page and remember how to make a socket, how to bind, then accept, and all that kind of stuff. Well, to make this work with NCAT, the command is just ncat listen mode port 7, and I want it to run /cat. This shows off ncat's ability to run an external command. That's what the --- exec means. When that happens, anything that ncat receives from the network, it's going to write to that command on a standard input. Whatever that command produces on a standard output, ncat sends back out over the socket. So think about what happens when a cat gets some input. What does it do? It makes a copy and sends it back out. So bang, you've got one line echo server. Online we have the ncat users card. It's got a whole bunch of examples of some of these trivial servers, how you can implement them in one line with ncat. And this server will accept multiple connections, it will accept simultaneous connections. There's really a lot you can do with it. One of the things that was going to be running on here is a fake web server. So let's see one of the other services I built up in a line of NCAT. Let's look at port 17. So here I just wired it up to execute /user/game/fortune. And now we have a port of the day server, which is another standard in line server, which is kind of fun. And here, port 1024. I just ran this through a line of Perl. This is at the bottom of the second column of your handout. This is taking anything that's on the input and it's capitalizing it. So these are trivial examples, but you can think of a lot more of that. And this just kind of gives you an idea of what you can do with command execution. If you use the sh exec option, then you actually can use anything that the shell can do inside here. You can really get some sophisticated stuff. Okay, so I mentioned that you could do SSL. And that's pretty easy. Just say SSL, and actually we do, as of recently, we do support certificate verification. And there we go. Now we're connected to read our Gmail securely through SSL. You can see the connection here. It gave the certificate fingerprint and everything. So the certificate verification passed. If that didn't, we wouldn't let you connect. And now we can read our email. This is perhaps not very useful, because I mean, that's what Gmail is for, so you don't have to type this stuff in here. But the idea with this is, now you have a back-end command that can speak SSL and can connect to all kinds of services. My use case for this is, I've got a really old computer with a mail client that doesn't support SSL. Well, we can wire this up to connect with SSL and then connect it to listen on the local port. And now we can connect to the local port with our mail client that's going to proxy everything through SSL. And now we've suddenly got an SSL enabled mail client. So if you've ever used S-Tunnel, this is like one limited use of that. This is something that NCAP can do. And really, the possibilities are almost endless. I want to give you, before we move on to the next two, I want to give you one example of something I decided I could use Netcat for. Like I said, I had never really used Netcat, but once I started developing this, I started finding all kinds of cool uses for it. It turns out that one of the scripts that we shipped with Nmap as part of the Nmap scripting engine had a bug in its processing of SSH. We have a script that will connect to a host, and it will print out the fingerprints of the SSH host key, which is kind of useful if you think about things like the Debian vulnerability. We don't ship a script, but there is a script that will search for those blacklisted host keys, so you can avoid that vulnerability. But anyway, there was a bug in it. The code assumed that one network read equaled one SSH packet. So it was if an SSH packet was split across two TCP packets, it wouldn't work because it wouldn't read half the packet. So I knew what the bug was, but I knew I had to reproduce it reliably before I could fix it and convince people that it was fixed. So I wired up NCAP with a little bit of Perl to read 100 bytes on its standard input, sleep for 1 second, and then write it to the standard output. And what that does is it forces the OS to split that up into 100 byte packets. So I set that up and connected the SSH server, and then I connected to it locally with the Nmap script, and I could reproduce the bug every time. So I posted it to the mailing list, and other people could reproduce it. And then once it was fixed, it was easy to show that it was fixed because you could just run it with the same script. You don't have to trust somebody's word that, oh yeah, it's fixed. So really, you know, be creative. There's a lot that you can do with a tool like this, and you should be aware of it. Okay, next one is pretty easy. It's a tool called NDIF. And it's a pretty simple tool, but I hear that there's kind of a lot of demand for it. Anyone guess from the name what NDIF does? Maybe someone has wanted this capability before. You can take two Nmap scans, you run NDIF on it, and it's going to tell you what changed between the two scans. So I want to direct your attention again to the handout. This is on the first page at the bottom. In the lower right corner, there's an example of NDIF output here. And you can see it reads just like a unified diff, with little minuses and pluses in the first column. But I want to show you an example. Most other tools that use Nmap output use Nmap's XML output format because that's the most flexible. So that's what this dash O capital X option does, is it save as XML. So those are the same results we saw before. Now, let's add a few options to this. As my friend over there said, we're going to add virtual detection, OS detection to this scan. We're just going to save it to a different file. And that's going to take a little bit longer, but not much. And then we're going to run NDIF on this and see what actually is the difference between these two scans. What's the difference between these two sets of flags? Okay, so you got a lot more information this time. Now, if you just ran diff on these two files, I mean, you can, but it really isn't, it's not that easy to read. That's why we wrote something called NDIF. and again, this is unfortunate that we don't have. I don't know. I can see the question. Okay. So we can see that the line, for example, for port 22 TCP, it knew it was SSH before, but now it knows it's SSH plus it knows it's open SSH 5.1. And before it knew that it was running Kerberos on port 88, but now we know that it's Mac OS X Kerberos. And added to the OS details are the three guesses. And this is just the nature of how OS detection works. A lot of times you'll get guesses that are really similar, but in this case it's obvious that it's running some version of Mac OS X 10.5. So all the pluses mean that that information was added in the second scan.
Now look at the bottom of the handout on the left.
There's a script here, and it's only a dozen lines. But what this is a totally automated network scanning solution for the network admin on the go. And I think I have a copy over there. So I'll give you a second to parse that. It's getting the date and storing an environment variable just to give a unique name to the files that it creates. It's going to run a scan, and obviously you would replace that with your own scan options in your own network. Then, it's going to run ndiff against scan-previous.xml. And then, it's going to just cat out the results of the latest scan. And the idea behind this is you put it in your cron tab and set it to run daily, and then it will email your results, and they'll show you anything that changed in your network. So get ready for this talk. I set up this exact cron job. I mean, I copied this file out of my cron tab, and I put it on the handout. I was scanning linuxtalk.org netspace just to see what changed, and I was really disappointed for a long time because it was the same every single day. I was running the same services. And then one day, I don't know, they must have changed something. It wasn't very interesting, but they just disabled the version of reporting, like on Apache and everything on a few other servers, so some of that information dropped out. But it's not something you would have noticed if you were to just stare at the two scan logs. You would never have known that, oh, all of a sudden this Apache server stopped reporting this version of information. But ndiff is a tool that's, you know, enables you to see things like that. And I should mention that ndiff is also built into ZenMap. Again, to make this easy to use for beginners, all you do is you go in the menu and say compare scans, and it's going to run ndiff for you. Alright, sorry, maybe I'm going a little faster. Any questions here? Okay, are there any network administrators here, like big networks? Maybe not, okay. That's kind of, we would kind of like to get some more experience with that and see if these tools can really handle big networks. I'm sort of concerned that maybe ndiff is a little too slow for big networks. We need to work on it.
How big should the network be?
Sorry?
How big should the network be?
10,000 hosts. Alright, so now, let's look at something. Alright, so let's review. What does that command mean? What's dash S capital C? If you haven't used Nmap in a few years, or if you're still using an old version, you may not know. Anybody know? I can see there's a real need for talks like this because the program has been advancing so much and changing, and people aren't aware of a lot of these new things. Oh, that's cool. Okay, there we go. That's better. So now we see the same port table as before, but what's here? SSH-host key. actually, we've got a couple of fingerprints here. And this is the script I was telling you about, the one that had the bug in it, which is now fixed. It connected to the SSH port and it retrieved the host key and printed it out for us. And obviously that's a little more than just a simple port scan. We're getting a little bit more information. Let's try turning up the verbosity a little bit. Now you can see we got a whole ton of information. Instead of just printing out the fingerprints, they printed out the whole key. And you can actually get that in a variety of formats. And now let's look at the script that did that. Who here has heard about the programming language called Lua? Yeah, it's getting pretty big, and especially in the security sector. You know, Wireshark uses it. What did I see? I saw a talk this afternoon. VLC, the media player, uses Lua. It's everywhere. And so we're using it too. Up at the top here, this is just a comment. But you can get an idea of what a typical NMAP script looks like. We set up a port rule, and what that is, we want this to run on port 22 or any port that version detection has identified as an SSH port. So if someone's being weird and they run SSH on the telnet port, which some people do, they think they're being sneaky or something, NMAP will see, okay, that's really SSH, let's go get the host key. So there's one part of the script that decides when it should run, and the other part of the script shows what to do. And this is pretty easy to read. This actually isn't a very new script. It's going to fetch the SSH1 host key. It's going to fetch the SSH2 host key with both DSS and RSA. And then this code here, if you don't know Lua, it's really not that hard to figure out. But this is just putting it into a table for display. So there's not much to the script. Everything is handled in the backend libraries. And there are actually quite a few libraries that come with NSC. Let me open that up here because I also want you to be aware of the online documentation for this. So open up your web browser, go to nmap.org/nscdoc. Over there on the right, you see all the scripts that are possible. And right now, we've got maybe something like 50 or 60 scripts at the latest. So it's growing. We still don't have as many scripts as we would like. If you've got an ability with Lua and you know a little bit of network programming, you don't have to be a port scanning expert to write a script. Just write something up that works for you and submit it to the NMAP mailing list and we'll take a look at it. But there are a lot of these. Banner is kind of a nice script. All it does is connect to the port, it listens for 5 seconds, and it'll show you anything the port prints out. So a lot of services will reveal themselves in that way. You guys are probably aware of the fairly recent DNS sequence number predictability vulnerability. There's a script here that'll test for that and see if your DNS servers are vulnerable. You can see, test your FTP servers and see if they're vulnerable to a bounce scan and have supported scan modes. A couple of brute forcer scripts that you can use to check your services for weak passwords. You see there's all kinds of them. And then libraries, we've got libraries to handle a bunch of network operations so you don't have to worry about it. So there's a library for SSH, there's a library for HTTP, library for POP3, DNS, all kinds of stuff. A library for accessing NMAP's data files. So, I mean, this has really grown. This is a big part of NMAP. It was released kind of a long time ago, 2006, which is why I'm surprised not a lot of people have heard about it. But it's something that's really growing every day. And it's kind of cool. I want to give you, mention something that got NMAP and NSC, the NMAP scripting engine, a lot of press lately. Do you remember it was back at the end of March, some researchers in Germany, I believe, figured out a way to remotely detect the configure worm and detect infections. Did you ever hear about that? It was a big deal, and NMAP was one of the first programs to support that, and it was through an NMAP scripting engine script. So you can just point this at your network, and it would come back and it would tell you this machine is infected with configure. this machine's been configured. By the way, it's the name config. It always sounded kind of dirty to me. But I think it's even worse in German. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay. So sorry if I offended anyone. And actually, there are two different scripts that can detect that particular worm. One of them works on an implementation flaw in the worm, and another one, which is really cool, it works. Someone reverse engineered the way that Configure opens up listening ports for its peer-to-peer transfer. They reverse engineered the random number generator. So if you know what the clock is set on your own computer, and obviously choose to set pretty close to the day, you only have to do it within a week, you can tell what ports it's going to have open based on its IP address and date. So you scan those ports, and if they are open, that's another indication of the infection. So there actually, we have two different scripts that can do that. And if you look on the back there, I give an example for scanning for Configure, and also just generally how to scan with NSC. All right, any questions there? I think we're doing pretty good on time. I'll have time for some questions at the end. All right, so I want to introduce this maybe in a different way. Again, I wanted to have a little contest with a whole bunch of ports. You remember I ran that script and started a bunch of services. That was just supposed to be running on here, and you know we're supposed to find that, eventually find the secret and shout it out, and whoever won it would get the prize. I can't resist showing you one of the decoy ports that I showed you that I created. It was the HTTP port, which I figured a lot of people would want to try first. Oops. So close. and that again, that's just ncat running with a Perl script, with a little prior Python script actually, with a little bit of a delay. So instead of that, we're going to have some kind of cheesy trivia contest to figure out who gets the prize for it. So let's see. Who can tell me what the dash capital F option does? Since last summer. All right, quick, go to nmap.org/download.html, download it, read the man page, prep for dash capital F. Okay, does anyone know what that command does at all? And I'll just, yeah.
Fast mode,
okay, so what is your experience with fast mode? Okay, excellent. That's fine. That's all. All right. What does it say?
It says scanning reports over this dashboard.
Right. So it's scanning through reports. This is really interesting. So I just want to mention this. It used to be that nmap scanned by default every port from 1 through 1023, all the privileged ports, plus every other port that had a name in its services file. But if you think about it, it's kind of a lame heuristic for guessing which ports are likely to be open. Just because it's named doesn't mean that, you know, people actually run it. And what FastScan did is it just omitted the ports below 1023 that didn't have a name. So it cut off like 100 ports or something. It really wasn't all that fast, that much faster. So what Viewer did last summer, and then I helped with some of the analysis scripts, is scan millions of hosts on the internet. Say, why? You get a talk at DEF CON soon. Why do you have to ask why? Port scanning is its own report. But we did have an idea in mind. The idea was to find out what ports tend to be open on the internet. So we scanned millions of hosts, scanned all 64K ports on every host, and we got a frequency of what ports are most commonly open. And now, nmap by default scans the most common 1,000 ports. So before it was something like 1,700, now it scans 1,000 by default. And FastScan scanned 100, the most common 100. So the top five are like HTTP, Telnet, HTTPS, FTP, I don't have the list in front of me, but it's really good. And actually, we had a kind of a success story for this. Someone wrote into the MDAT mailing list. They said, I just downloaded a new version, and I scanned this host, and all of a sudden there's two ports that it didn't find before. Did you guys increase the number of ports scanned by default or something? So no, actually decreased it, but it's just a better selection than it was before. This is the port that's most likely to go. So, who are you? What's your name? Come on up here. Oh yeah, here you go. Alright, so your prize is a free copy of the NMAP book, but you have to ask one more question. You want it in English or in German? Okay. So, hold it up, I want just want the audience to see. This is a book published in January, the official book on NMAP. So you can buy it, go to Amazon and check it out. A nice thing is you don't actually have to buy this book. You only have to buy half of it. Because half of it is available online already. And since just this month for Open Source Press, there's a German translation as well, so check it out. There's a lot of good information on here. And a lot of what you need to know is in the online chapters. So the chapters on NSC and ZenMap and the version detection and all that, those are all online. Alright, thanks. All right, well, thank you everybody for your attention. I'd like to accept some questions now if there are any. All right, very good. Awesome. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Is there a comparison between this and the cat?
That's a good question. The question was, is there some sort of comparison, maybe like a cheat sheet for NCAT or NCAT options and NETCAT options? And I wish they had a short answer for that. The longer answer is that it's kind of hard. We have been researching a lot of different NETCATs, and there are a lot of them. And a lot of them have conflicting options. You know, one option will mean one thing, and they just don't all agree. Your best bet is to go online. And again, this is all your handout. This is the NCAP page, and actually this is worth visiting just for the ask you. Go down here to NCAP User's Guide. And this is the best documentation for NCAP. So this will give you an idea of everything that you can do. And a lot of the examples that you have here are also present in the User's Guide. Any other questions? Thank you everyone for your attention.